26:3, that he will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth thee. Now, in Ephesians 6:14, there's the key. Ephesians 6:14 says, he himself is our peace. So when our peace is gone, we focus on him. Peter used to preach a sermon about living at sea level, S-E-E level. And the message was that we're not to live at sea level. Because whatever our focus is, that determines what goes on at that point. So when I find myself, this is another scripture that God uses. He has used it over and over again. And I just want to share it with you. When I find my peace is gone, I stop and I realize, hey, I'm looking at what I see. I'm letting what I see rob me of my peace. Just another way of saying what I've already said, but it also confirms the fact that it's there in the Word. It's a promise and a provision from God. Okay, Johnny, you are focused on what you see, and that's taking your peace away. The scripture says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So I will literally, if I'm driving down the road, if I'm standing at that sink, whatever I happen to be doing, I literally, for my sake, look up. As I do that, I'm choosing to lift my focus from the things that are disturbing me. And I begin telling myself the things that I know are true about him. I remind myself of how at other times he has restored my peace. As I begin focusing on him, I find my faith level rises. And then I'm at a place for him to restore my peace as I just begin thinking, you are God Almighty. You're bigger than anything and anyone, including the devil and every demon he's got running loose. And I just reaffirm my confidence in who he is. I would like, in this closing session, for us to kind of tie things together. Well, one thing I think I would like for each of you to commit that before this time next week, if possible, before God, not if it's convenient, The devil will see to it that it will not be convenient. But before this time next week, you do what it takes to find time with the Lord and let Him walk through the different areas of your life and just ask Him to show you what He sees. That doesn't mean you're going to be in the mess I was in. You know, it doesn't have to be bad. It could be all rewarding. But this is something I find helpful to me periodically to do since that first time. Just, you know, we go to the doctor for a physical checkup. Well, let's tune in and let the Spirit give us a spiritual checkup through the different areas of our lives. Okay? Then I would encourage you, when He shows you something, you ask Him to show you what He sees, and when He shows you something, please don't try to talk Him out of it. Now, what I mean by that is a lot of times I must admit that I'll ask the Lord to show me, give me direction, show me something that I need to know. And He tells, I hear something and I'll say, oh, well, I know that couldn't be it. And I move into rationalizing. And I'll just talk myself right out of what the Lord has just said in answer to my ask. I'll ask Him and He'll tell me. And I'll talk Him out of it. Or I'll act, you know, I will not take it seriously. This might be a minor thing, it might be major. So I don't want you to make mistakes that I've made. So as you take that walk, then I want to encourage you. If there are priorities that need to be rearranged, just deal with the issues at hand. I've seen too many times we come to meetings and God speaks to us and we leave with good intentions, and 6 months later we are no further down the road. So I have to commit myself to a time frame, and God knows if I can't keep it, and if I can, it's okay. So if it's 2 weeks down the road and it's really been, you've been looking for that time, well, that's okay. But the point is, don't let the enemy steal the seed away that God has planted in your heart this weekend. And he's going to be jumping on it immediately. You're going to get home and it's going to be so busy, and you might say a time that, oh, we had a wonderful weekend. And by Wednesday, you'll have a hard time even remembering what went on. So I think it's real important that you set a time frame that you really commit yourself to taking that little walk with the Lord. And like I say, that doesn't mean it's going to be an awful deal. Anticipate it. You know? Okay. Then when he shows you, you might, like I said, if he tells you something, you might say, oh, well, that's too small to be considered. It might be nothing bigger than a crossword puzzle or the morning newspaper or some very good TV program. And you just know that couldn't have anything to do with the situation you're in, because it's just nothing bad about that, you see. Well, it may be that the disorder, if you're in that situation, of your life could be just really go back to priorities out of line. And although that thing might not be a sin, if it's out of, if it's not in the right priority in your life, it can throw your whole life in disarray. So take it seriously. You see? Otherwise, you might have just spent a weekend in vain. Okay. Maybe it's not just a priority that needs to be rearranged. Maybe you'll find that it is a sin that needs to be confessed. If it's a sin, confess it. Just go ahead. I would encourage you to say yes to the Lord before you ever start. I mean, as you sit down to take your walk, just say, "Yes, Lord." Rather than every time he puts his finger on something, you argue with him about it. Because he's not going to change his mind. So just go ahead and make that decision. "Yes, Lord." So when he lays something on your heart, you just, "Yes, Lord, I don't want that in my life anymore. I want to get rid of that. I agree with you." Put it down. Confess. Okay? Then, when that's been confessed, let him tell you what to do about it. If there's something needs to be done, you might need to forgive somebody and let them know it. You might need to forgive somebody and not say a word about it. Let him tell you what to do about the issue that he brings to your attention. You say, "How do I know?" Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. But be obedient. Just be obedient. Don't wait until you feel all gooey or I don't know what. You know, we have some feelings that we think we've got to come up to before we get down serious about something. Because if it's real important, we think we're supposed to feel some real tremendous feeling. No, that's not the truth. If you're impressed, if the Lord shows you to do something about a thing, just be obedient. Don't wait to feel obedient. Be obedient. It's a choice of the will. It's not a feeling you arrive at. Okay? Then when you choose to be obedient, remember where he is in all this. He's here. I love those verses about the strength of the Lord, the grace of the Lord. There's so many things I wish we could just get into. But whatever you need to be obedient, remember, you haven't got to get over it in a corner somewhere and take a bunch of spiritual aerobics or exercise and get your spiritual muscles really strong. And when you get strong enough, go do that thing. Forget that. That's our problem now for many of us. We're too strong. And the Lord doesn't have the opportunity to operate through us. Now, I don't want this to be confusing. I simply want to say, God shows you what he sees. Might be a priority that needs changing. It might be a sin that needs confessing. Confess that sin, whether you feel like it or not. Let him show you what to do about it. When he leads you what to do, simply be obedient. Don't wait on a feeling. Be obedient. Now, realizing, number two, not only that does he want to clean you up, but he wants to fill you up. And the next thing I want you to just think about is, get to know the one that lives inside of you. Get cleaned up, turn him loose, and then get to know him. Get to know him. When you read the Word, anytime you see something that spells out a characteristic of Jesus, like in the Gospel, where you see Jesus in the stories, and maybe you're reading where he and the multitude were walking along, and he felt a woman tug at the hem of his garment, and he stopped that whole multitude, and he turned, and he talked with her, and he asked her what she wanted, and he healed her. Now, what does that tell you about the kind of person the Lord is? Well, it tells us a lot about him. It tells me that he's got time for little old me. I don't have to be somebody real important, but he's got time for little old me. And my concerns are important to him. If he had such compassion for her, that same Jesus has compassion for me. And I love to take the stories of Jesus like that and look and see what they tell me about what kind of person he is. But don't ever stop there. The most exciting thing about it is the next step. That's who Jesus is. That's the kind of person Jesus is. And that person lives in me. He's all of that to me. All that he was out there, he's in there. Those same qualities and characteristics reside in me. I mean, that will blow your mind. That'll get you going for the day. That'll motivate you. That strength of power. Power of strength. That man full of grace. Full of forgiveness. Oh, this is wonderful. That same one that could say on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You say, I could never, ever, ever forgive that person. I don't even want to try to. I couldn't be expected to do that. Well, let me tell you, you don't have to try to. That Jesus that lives inside of you has got all the forgiveness you'll ever need. So release him. Release his forgiveness. Let him forgive through you. Let him be your forgiveness. I don't want to sound strange, but all I can say is you got to try it. I know it might sound a little, you know, you might be wondering about me. But you remember, that's the way I felt about that pastor when he was preaching that morning. I said, Lord, I don't know if I believe that or not. So I understand if you don't believe, you don't know if you believe it or not. But I do beg you to take that next step and say, Lord, if it is true, would you teach me to live like that? I mean, that's only fair, isn't it? That's only fair. So I'd like to encourage you, because I find it so helpful to me. Every time you find a quality or a characteristic of Jesus, keep you just a little notepad, and you put that there. Because one day you're going to be needing to remember that he is your rock. That to me says he's stable. He's secure. I don't have to feel unsteady. I don't have to be afraid. He's my rock. All the security I'll ever need. You find that in in Psalms 18, the first three verses. There's some tremendous characteristics of Jesus right there. Well, when you read one, don't just keep reading. You read that and you let the Lord speak that to your heart. Let the truth of the Word become truth in your life. Just because it's true, it doesn't make a bit of difference. I remember the one time the Lord said to me, Johnny, it doesn't matter what you know. It really doesn't matter, because I was into really knowing all these scriptures and everything, and he said, it doesn't matter what you know. Unless, in the middle of a situation, you reach up there and take what you know and choose to believe it right then. That's when it does you some good. And he gave me this picture. As I stand in front of my stove, just above the burners is a cabinet that has my condiments in it. All the spices and all the seasonings, and I've got plenty of those. We like things all spiced up. And the Lord said, all that stuff you've got stored in your head is nothing more than the condiments in your cabinet. It doesn't affect your life one bit until you reach up, take it out, and apply it. Then it affects your life. That's why some of the meanest people you know can quote scripture coming and going. It's just in their head. It doesn't mean anything to them. So just remember, get hold of everything you can about what the Lord is, who He is, and what He's like, and put it down in a little notebook somewhere, and there'll be times you won't be able to remember where you found that. But if you've got that little pad, you can go and be reminded of the truth. And then you let that be true for you. Choose to believe it so it can be life for you in that situation. See? I'm just reminded, because as you shared your testimony, what's your first name? Becky. As you shared your testimony, I was reminded of something that I really would like to share with you, because this is another mistake I don't want you to make. And this is kind of a hodgepodge, I guess you've noticed. A little of this and a little of that. I set out to have an orderly what to do. But we've come to a little hodgepodge around. But, I was telling you how that scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, just became alive for me, and I began using it every time I found any shred of fear coming my way, and I'd grab that and run off the devil and turn around and receive all that. Well, listen, that was working so good. I got so excited about it because of the peace that I was experiencing, and I began sharing it with people. Well, one morning I woke up, and you reminded me, there was peace, fear all over the place. And I was beginning to get put under condemnation. Oh, now where is this peace you've been telling everybody about? Where is this peace? I guess it really doesn't work after all, does it? Maybe now and again, but where is it now? And I was really beginning to get down and wonder what was wrong. And then, just keep listening. give the Lord a chance to speak. The Lord said, Johnny, you did have victory over peace. You did have victory over fear. Don't you let the enemy take the victory I gave you away, or take my glory away. You did have victory over fear. Now, this is just another opportunity to have another victory over another fear. So, you know, we get the idea that when we learn something, we're not supposed to use it anymore. And we're not going to need it now. You know, I did. I thought, well, I know that, so I won't ever have any more problems with fear. Well, it helped me to see, I just know now what to do. So when it comes, just do it. No big deal. You don't have to go through all these struggles all over again. You're not starting over. It's just another opportunity to choose the Lord over the enemy one more time. And then it becomes, you know, I get kind of the feeling of being in a game. You know, this is another chance to win rather than under the pile. Like I'm just about to be defeated again. So I just needed to share that. Have another victory over another fear. It's like another crack at the enemy, you know? Anyway. Okay. So what are you going to do when you walk with the Lord through your life? You confess up to date. You focus on Him. You're committed to getting to know Him. Then what are you going to do to strengthen this inner man? I think it's very important that in order to get to know Him, you're going to need to spend some regular time alone with Him. And I don't know how many of you have a regular time with the Lord. Some people say, oh, well, I talk to Him all day. Well, that's good. But I think it honors Him. And it certainly blesses us if we will give Him our undivided attention for a portion of each day. Now, if you slip up a day or two, or don't get down. This is an opportunity. It's not a sledgehammer. You know, it's not a law that you're being put under. It's an opportunity for you to spend time and get to know the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that lives inside of you. You're wanting to develop this relationship, this companion that you're realizing really is here all the time. So let me encourage you, not only should you spend time with Him on a regular basis, but I would encourage you to get it. Don't just talk to Him. Take the Word. Read at least a thought and ask Him what He wants to say to you from that thought for the day. Let Him teach you what He's... Let Him relate that to where you are. And this doesn't have to be some real mountaintop every morning. I know I had a hard time ever really getting down to a regular, consistent quiet time. I would have it every time I didn't get interrupted. My commitment was to have a quiet time. But you know, I found, just like I said a while ago, the enemy's going to see to it that you are interrupted if he can. anything that precious, you're going to have to fight for it. So don't wait until you can come up with that convenient time. It's probably not going to happen that way. It never has for me. And but anyway, I finally worked out all the nitty-gritties, and I knew, okay, I'm going to go to that living room chair, and I've got my Bible and the things I'm going to be using, and they're right there. And I set my alarm before anybody got up, so I would not be interrupted anymore. And I just went to that place of prayer, and I just knew glory was going to come down. Well, I hadn't been there very long before I promptly went to sleep. The next morning, 5:30, I was having to get up real early because the kids were going to school, and that was much earlier than I was used to getting up. The next morning, there in my special place, all over again, surely glory was going to come, but I went to sleep again. And then the third morning, when the same thing almost happened, I remember saying to the Lord, I don't understand this. All these years, you have been bugging me about a regular, consistent, quiet time. You've not let me rest until I've got it all figured out, and here I am for a regular, consistent, quiet time. But I don't feel your finger anymore. I don't understand. And he said something that obviously I haven't forgotten or I wouldn't be telling you. But he said, Johnny, I want you to know, I'm a lot more interested in your obedience than your performance. That, did you know that that was true? He's more interested in our obedience than our performance. He knew if I would continue to be obedient that my body was going to make the adjustments, and one day it did, and one day we did have a very precious time that was the beginning of many years of that. So I want that for you. But you're going to have to fight for it. It's too precious. The devil's not going to let you just waltz in and waltz out. You've got to hang in there, but it's worth it. Okay, so you've gotten things in order now. You're going to have your quiet time. You're going to build your soul. This is the way to care for your soul, to get strong inside. You'll be amazed just by spending that time with Him, the difference that begins to be taking place in your life. You'll find something that, an inner strength that you just know is getting stronger as you continue in this. Okay, so I'd encourage you to have a quiet time. And I would encourage you, because you're wanting to grow, aren't you? Aren't you wanting to be the body of Christ in your situation, in your church, where you are? Aren't you wanting to function and be a part of that? Well, let me encourage you. Find your gifting from the Lord. And ask Him how to use that gift for His glory. You'll find a great freedom as you do this. The body needs you, and you need that exercise of being involved. Okay? Now, I'm not just talking to the young people or those that have always done it. I'm talking to all of us. Okay? All of us. Did you know that when He designed you, He measured the ingredients and he puts you together in such a way that there is a slot for you, a place for you in his body. And that body cannot function properly until you're in your place. Okay? And that won't make Sunday school teachers out of all of you. Wouldn't be anybody to listen, would there? No. Okay. All right, and then you need, maybe your Sunday school class is your small group. You need a place to share your heart. You need that. We're made that way. God designed us to need each other. I don't know where this came from, but I grew up with the idea that a really good Christian stood on their own. And me and God could do anything. Well, I nearly ruined my marriage with that concept. Because me and God didn't need Peter. Me and God just did it all. I must say this to be faithful to my instructions. Peter always says, Johnny, tell women when you speak to them that God designed a man to need to be needed. And the idea that, I mean, many of us very ignorantly think, and I was totally ignorant, ignorantly think, well, if we can handle everything, then it'll take the load off of them. Wrong. They must know that we need them. But that's really not in the context of what I was saying. What I'm saying is we need to be a part of a group. And like I said, your Sunday school class might be where your group is. Whatever. But where we can share our hearts and minister to each other. These are little practical things that seem very important to strong, healthy souls and strong, healthy churches. And surely that's what you want to be. That's what I want for you to be. Okay? Because when we're not, we sure don't operate in peace. And we get back to that peace bit. If there's anything I had written down that I don't want to forget. I want, as a part of your devotion, I would encourage you to do something, whether you do it immediately, but I would encourage you to do this as a follow-up on our study. Do a word study on peace. Look in the concordance in the back of your Bible and look up the scriptures that relate to peace. Take them one at a time and ask God to teach you what that means for you. Lay hold of it. Let it become yours in your daily operation. Okay? I think... Well, that was one of the things that was so helpful to me. And I'm just passing on bits and pieces that I would love to see you experience. I thought at one time we'd read some of those scriptures But our time is gone, so what I want you to do is do it yourself. That'll be much better anyway. Now, ladies, I've really enjoyed being with you. It's been so special. And I want you, between now and the sharing time, to reflect on the things that have been said this weekend and ask the Lord what He wants you to take home and allow to make a difference in your life. I'm taking home something, and I've asked Him to give each one of you something, so don't miss what He has for you, okay? And you might hear it during the sharing time. Many times that's the most important, some of the most important things are said during that time. So if God prompts you to share, you might have the word for somebody across the room that they'll not get if you don't share.